Welcome to this week's Take 15. Last week, we began our discussion of the issue of women saying the mourner's Kaddish. We spoke of how this Shaila, this question, actually goes way back in history and is recorded as early as the 1600s, despite the fact that we normally associate questions about women's roles in prayers and synagogues to be a very modern issue. This was a very old one, and we spoke of the reason why is quite obvious, because there were always families that left behind no sons. There were always families with only daughters who wanted to know how to honor the memory of their deceased parent. They wanted to know whether they too could say Kaddish for the merit of their parents. So this was not an issue that arose out of modern circumstances, but an issue that had always been around, that had always come up. We spoke as well of the many historical examples cited by reliable sources where Gedolim, true giants of the Torah world of our past, allowed within their own shuls and bate medrash, houses of study, to say Kaddish all over, for women to say Kaddish all over Europe. Stories of how a woman would come into the base medrash after davening to say Kaddish after Marv or after Shacharis. Countless stories such as those. And lastly, we discussed a tshuva of the Chavos Yair, Yair Chaim Bachrach, who was one of the preeminent rabbis of the 17th century in Germany, about a case that arose in Amsterdam in the 1600s, which he was asked to comment on. Situation in which a man died with no sons. He designated 10 men to study Torah in his home every day in his memory, and for his daughters to say Kaddish after they had learned in his home. And no one in Amsterdam had protested this practice. The Chavos Yair then goes on to give his own commentary on the practice, citing many halachic reasons why it would be okay for these women, and women in general, to say Kaddish after a deceased parent. However, he concludes that he was worried about instituting this practice because of the fear that it would somehow erode and weaken the allegiance of his community to their customs. Now, we had many different readings of this line in the Chavos Yair, why he prohibits it for community reasons, for political reasons, or however you want to call it. Either we said that the Chavos Yair was claiming that since men always said Kaddish, that was always the custom, and therefore women shouldn't say Kaddish because it's not what we do, and therefore it would be forbidden. Or, we presented the reading of Rabbi Barry Freundel of this line in the Chavos Yair, in which he explains that what the Chavos Yair was opposed to was the fact that different breakaway minyanim would be sprouting up here and there and everywhere for people to say Kaddish. And that was the circumstance which was being commented on in terms of the situation in Amsterdam, where women had their own private, where this deceased man had his own private minyan in his house, where the women, the daughters, would say the Kaddish. And so the Chavos Yair was worried about unraveling the structure and custom and weakening the structure and custom of his community of davening together by having all of these small minyanim pop out here, there, and everywhere. If that's really the case, then it's not that the Chavos Yair was opposed to women saying Kaddish on halachic terms. It's not even that the Chavos Yair was generally opposed to women saying Kaddish on terms of custom or minhag, but specifically in his time and in his community where this particular issue was of concern, he decided that it wasn't proper for women to say Kaddish. However, perhaps in other circumstances, in other times, as we'll see shortly in this tonight's talk, it would be permitted. There is yet another fascinating 17th century tshuva, responsa, by Rabbi Yaakov Reischer, the author of the Shavus Yaakov, which is a collection of responsa. And Rabbi Yaakov Reischer lived in Prague, also one of the preeminent scholars of the 17th century. He's more famously known, actually, for some of his other svarim, including a collection of the stories that are found in the Gemara called Ein Yaakov, a text that was studied by many traditional Jews over the course of history in the last 300 years in Europe, became a very standard text in all shuls and bate medrash. So, same author, Rav Yaakov Reischer, writes in his responsa called Shavus Yaakov, about the issue of women saying Kaddish, and he seems to outright permit women to say Kaddish in a private home. This is the common tshuva cited in favor of women saying Kaddish, and I want to take it a little bit further tonight and analyze it in depth, look at some of the aspects of this tshuva and what's interesting about it. On the surface, it seems like what Rav Yaakov Reischer is saying is that it's halachically okay for women to say Kaddish in a private minyan in someone's home, but perhaps not in shul. But when you understand the context of the rest of his tshuva, it will become very clear why he's specifically talking about women saying it in a house, in private and not in shul, and it will also become specifically clear that he wouldn't forbid saying it in a shul depending on the context. Now, before we start to analyze the details of his tshuva, there's something very important to remember, historically speaking. A practice that was very different than what we do today, which without understanding this bit of history, we won't understand the tshuva at all. For most of Jewish history, up until very recently, the custom was for one person in shul, one person alone, to say the mourner's Kaddish at the end of davening. The person who had the highest level obligation of saying Kaddish. There's a hierarchy in terms of obligations of saying Kaddish, in terms of obligations to lead the minyan in prayer. So, for example, someone who's in Shiva or in Shloshim has a higher obligation than someone who's in the year of Avelus for a parent. Someone who is a child who's saying Kaddish for 12 months for a parent has a higher obligation than just a relative who decides to say Kaddish for someone. So there are a lot of gradations and levels, but basically the person and outlined in the halachic literature exactly what the hierarchy is. So the person with the highest chiyuv, the highest obligation to say the Kaddish, would say the Kaddish at the end of davening, the mourner's Kaddish, and no one else. And in fact, if you want to see this practice actually done today, when I used to live in Washington Heights, I sometimes davened in the Breuer's Shul, Kehala Das Yeshurun, which is the KAJ, the German congregation that still exists in Washington Heights, the congregation of Rabbi Breuer originally. If you go to that shul, you will see up until today that at the end of davening, when it's time for the mourner's Kaddish, only one person says it. Everybody else is silent. And this is why such a big deal is made about the hierarchy of Kaddishes, because it was very important, historically speaking, to figure out who would be the one to say the Kaddish. Now, at some point in history, and I'm not sure exactly when this changed, and probably because it was difficult and everybody was fighting and everybody wanted to say the Kaddish, we instituted the practice of all mourners saying Kaddish in unison. Today, the hierarchy of who's obligated is really only important in terms of who's going to lead the davening. But in terms of who's able to say the mourner's Kaddish, everybody can. So just remember that in the time that the Shvus Yaakov is writing this tshuva, only one person in shul is saying the Kaddish. Here's what his tshuva says. A situation arose where a young man died, leaving behind only daughters. And he asked for a psak, evidently before he died, while he was still alive, he asked for a psak that these daughters should be able to say Kaddish in his home with a minyan after his demise. And that request was granted to him. After his death, this man's father, who was still alive, and evidently this man died as a young person, so he had little daughters or teenage daughters, plus his father was still alive, and wanted to say Kaddish for his deceased son in shul, and was met with a lot of friction, because since he is a parent of a deceased, not a child of a deceased, he doesn't really have an obligation halachically to say Kaddish, and in terms of the order of priorities and the order of obligation of who is required to say Kaddish, he's very, very low on the totem pole. So there were other people in that shul at that time who, let's say, were a child of a deceased parent who really was obligated for 12 months, 11 months to say Kaddish. And there was this father of a deceased child who didn't really have an obligation, therefore he couldn't say Kaddish over there in that particular shul. At the very end of his tshuva, the Shvus Yaakov says that there is indeed, sometimes he quotes actually his brother-in-law, who says that there are times when even though this a father like this would not have a halachic obligation to say Kaddish and would not be on the top of the totem pole in terms of people obligated to say that one morning Kaddish in Shul, there are times when we would permit it, such as a time when the deceased person had no other relatives to say Kaddish for them. So in order to kind of appease this dying person who knows that this only relative that could say Kaddish for them is a parent, we might permit the parent to daven in the shul and to say the Kaddish in the shul, even in a place where there were people with a higher level obligation than him, in order to just appease the mind, put him at peace of the person who was dying and leaving this relative behind. However, says the Shvus Yaakov, in our case, where the relatives that are left behind are the daughters and the father, he says the following: Ava bednidon shelefaneinu. In our case, shekvar heniach bat sheomeret kaddish bebayit etzel minyan, where there's already daughters who are left behind after this man died in order to say kaddish for him in that private minyan in their homes, imken kvar yesh lo pius da'at bazeh, then the dying man would already have peace of mind knowing that he leaves behind his daughters to say Kaddish, and therefore we would not permit the father, who doesn't really have an obligation to say Kaddish, to daven and to say the Kaddish in the shul, because there are people with a higher obligation than him. Venire, degam le'inyan hatfila yesh le'aviv le'hispalo rak b'bayit, etzel haminyan she'omeret habat Kaddish, aval b'shar tfilot v'kaddishim ein lahem zchut. He says the father therefore shouldn't daven in shul because he doesn't have, and shouldn't lead the davening in shul because, again, he doesn't have an official obligation. There are others who have a higher level of obligation, mourners who are higher on the totem pole than him. But instead, says the Shvus Yaakov, the father should go to that minyan in the house where the daughters are saying Kaddish, and there he can daven, he can lead the davening, and listen to the daughters who are saying, the daughter who is saying Kaddish. What you see here is something very clear. The Shvus Yaakov was talking about women saying Kaddish in a private home, not because he felt it was prohibited for women to say Kaddish together in a shul, but only because, obviously, in his circumstance, where he lived, where only one person in shul said the Kaddish, obviously, a woman who was never obligated in public prayer, who was never obligated in these things, would not be able to supplant the male who was saying Kaddish in the shul, because they would obviously have a higher level obligation of Kaddish on the totem pole. However, in a situation like we live in today, where everyone says Kaddish in unison, presumably the Shvus Yaakov would have no opposition of women joining in that communal Kaddish recitation, even in a public setting like the shul. That's the Shvus Yaakov. If you move to modern poskim today, to the modern commentaries, we see some very interesting response as well. We see a lot of people who forbid women saying Kaddish for various communal concerns, for various tzinius concerns. However, what you've seen from the ancient tshuvas, for the more distant past, that people didn't really oppose the practice of women saying Kaddish. It happened all over Europe. The tshuva of the Shvus Yaakov certainly permits it. The tshuva of the Chavos Yair, while he doesn't permit it from a communal perspective, he doesn't see any halachic problems with it. In addition to that, in the very same conversation by Rabbi Ezra Bick, who is a Rebbe in Yeshivat Har Tzion in Israel that I mentioned last week, in his conversation with Rabbi Soloveitchik, he asked him, in specific, it was okay for women to say Kaddish either by themselves, not by themselves, but in the context of a minyan, even when men are not saying Kaddish, or together with the men who are in the minyan. And he records that in that conversation, Rabbi Soloveitchik said that in either case, whether alone or with other men, it would be perfectly all right for women to stay Kaddish. Again, this story is recorded in Rabbi Wolowalski's book, Women, Jewish Law, and Modernity. In addition to that, we saw the tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein, where he mentions the practice of women coming into the back of the Beis Medrash to say Kaddish, and he never mentions anything opposed to it. Granted, he doesn't have a tshuva specifically addressing this issue, but when he mentions it in passing, he doesn't oppose it. Finally, Rabbi Henkin, who was one of the preeminent poskim of the 20th century in America, also lived on the Lower East Side, the beginning of the first half of the century, wrote a tshuva explicitly permitting women to say Kaddish in our shuls along with the men. And his grandson, Rabbi Henkin, who's alive today, in his tshuva, Shut B'nei Banim, writes an entire tshuva in support of his grandfather's ruling, that in the women's section of the shul, women could say Kaddish along with the men who are saying the mourner's Kaddish. So you've seen a lot of very different opinions. We've learned through a lot of very different sources. There are definitely opinions on both sides. It's far from a clear issue, but the thrust of sources from a strictly halachic perspective don't seem to have any problem with women saying Kaddish in the context of a larger minyan, whether in shul or in a private home. There's certainly much more to share on this topic, and as I mentioned, it is a sensitive one, but if you'd like to discuss it further in private in terms of directives and personal psak, I would be happy to discuss it with anybody who wishes. Have a wonderful week.